We begin the current daven sech. The Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Aleph. We begin four lines up from the top of the Yomim. We will continue with the next Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues on the theme about moving muktzah items on Shabbos. Our Mishnah begins Hakasha al gabe mita, regarding straw that's on top of a bed, and that is generally straw was set aside for being used as fuel, as firewood, and it was muktzah, and therefore someone that's coming to lay down on the straw on Shabbos that's on his bed, he would move it around first to go ahead and fluff it up, make it soft, that he could lay on it. So the halacha is lo yanen b'yad, he's not allowed to move with his hand, as we just said, because since it's muktzah, and you have straw on your bed, although you want to use it as something to lay down on, but since it's muktzah, you're not allowed to move it around with your hand to soften it. Rather, elamananan b'gufa, you can move it around with your body, that is, with your shoulder, which is called tiltel min atzad, that's moving it indirectly, which is not called tiltel, and therefore, if you want to go ahead and lay down to smooth it out, you can't use your hands to do that, again, because it's set aside, it's something that's considered muktzah, because it's generally used as fuel, which is something asr on Shabbos. Rather, you can use your body, but not your hands. However, if it was straw that was set aside for animal food, or if there was a pillow or a blanket on the straw, on the bed, from before Shabbos, that he's already revealed his intent, that he was setting aside this straw for laying down, so now the straw does not have a status of muktzah, rather has a status of a kli, because it was already designated to be used as a bed, then in both the cases of when it's animal food, which is not muktzah, and if there's a pillow already on the straw that it was designated to be used as a bed already, then you can move with your hand, because now it's not muktzah, it was not designated for fuel and for firewood, rather as a bed, and therefore it's muktzah. Our Mishnah continues, Machbish shel bali batim, regarding the press of individuals, not commercial ones. That is, there were two boards that were heavy boards, and they were organized that on the bottom board they would put their clothing, and then they would put the top board down on top of the garments which were on the bottom one, and they would press the clothing through using the formats of pegs. And that is, they would have these beams that would be on the four corners of the bottom board, and the top board that would come down, it would have holes where you would insert the pegs, these beams from the bottom boards, it would go in it, and there would be notches on these beams to according to how tight you wanted to press the garments under it. And then you would put the peg on that notch to keep it there that it wouldn't be able to go up, and that would press it in there. That would be the process of how they would press their clothing. So the press of a balabatim, of a homeowner, matirim, you're allowed to release that press on Shabbos, and that is, you could take out the peg from keeping it stuck over there, from keeping the two boards tight, and that is what's called to release it. And since it's a tzarech of Shabbos, it's a necessity because you're taking it away so that you could take your garment out from inside of it and use it on Shabbos. Therefore, that's permitted to be done. But you cannot press it, that is, to close it and to tighten it on Shabbos, because that's a weekday, mundane activity, a necessity, and therefore you're not allowed to press it, you're only allowed to release it to be able to take your clothing out of it. However, if it's the press of the launderers, the commercial type, that one you can't touch even to release, and that is because there it was made in a way to be masakin the garments. They did it very tight. They would do it pressing to make it really sharp, the pleats and the press, and therefore to open up and release those boards, those presses, that would be tantamount to what's called stira, to as if destroying it, and that's one of the lamatas melachos of Shabbos, and therefore that is usher to do even to release if it's the presses of the commercial ones of the laundries, that's usher to do on Shabbos. Yehuda says, it was open already a little bit from before Shabbos, then you could open up the entire thing and to take out your garments from inside. But it's only if it was totally closed with the pegs and it was tightly closed, it was never open, that would be considered seiser. But if it was open already from before Shabbos a little bit, then you could totally open it and release your garments from there that was in there from before Shabbos. So now Gemara quotes a halacha that will come in relation to the discussion of our Mishnah. The Gemara begins, Amrav Nachman, Hai Pugla, regarding this radish, and that is, people would take radishes and they would store it in the ground to preserve the radish. So when you're coming to take out the radish on Shabbos, so it depends. Milmala Lamatashari, if it was put into the ground from top to bottom, that's permitted. And that is, if the top part of it, of the radish, was on the top, and the point, the bottom part, was on the bottom, then when you're removing the top, which the thick part first, that's on the top, and the point is coming out afterwards, that's permitted because the pit is wider on the top, and therefore when you're moving it out, when you're removing it, you're not moving any of the ground when you're taking it out. However, if you would be removing it from upside down, from the bottom first, and then the top, as the Gemara says, "Mamata lamala aser." But if it would be from the bottom first and the top on the bottom, that would be prohibited. And that is because if the bottom part is on the top, the point is there. So that means the top part, which the thick part, is on the bottom. So therefore, when you're removing it, you're first taking the bottom first. That's also because that what comes out is that the pit that you dug for yourself when you put in the radish upside down, so it's narrow on the top, and then when you're taking it out, you're moving the earth to remove it because there's only a slight opening on the top, and although it's what's called tiltum and atzad, it's an indirect movement of the earth because you're only moving the radish and that's causing the earth to move, that's still that's considered that it's tiltum that's moving, and therefore that's awesome. To which the Gemara asks, Amr Avad Barabba and Amri Beirav, we learned in our Mishnah, not like Rav Nachman, because from our Mishnah, as we mentioned, we said that tiltum and atzad is not called tiltum. As we said, because minanea begufay, our Mishnah said, we said that when you have the straw on the bed, which is not designated for the bed purposes, there was no pillow or blanket, then we say that it's muktzah because it's generally used as fuel, which is aster and Shabbos. So he said you can't move it with your hand, but you can move it with your body, which is tiltum and atzad, moving it in an indirect way, which we said is mutter, as the Gemara brings. We learned in our Mishnah, akasha gabe amita, the straw that's on the bed, lo yana. And then the biyadi, now move with your hand because it's muktzah. But you can move with your body because that's called tiltum and atzad. It's indirect movement of muktzah. And our Mishnah said, Vim hoyamaycha behemen, if it was animal food, the straw, or yishahoyalov karisad, and if there was a pillow or a blanket in it, then we said, Menanei biyadi, because then it's already designated as a bed and it's not muktzah, it has the status of a kli. But shemamino, what we hear from our Mishnah is that tiltum and atzad, lo yishmei tiltum, shemamino. Obviously, the halacha is not like the statement of Rav Nachman, that even indirect movement of muktzah is not considered movement of muktzah, and therefore, as our Mishnah says, you can move with your body, and therefore, the statement that he says is incorrect, and that you would be allowed to take out the radish, even if it's upside down, because although you're going to be moving the earth, but since it's an indirect way, because you're moving the radish, which you're moving the earth, is going to be mutter. A similar heter, our Gemara brings of doing something in an indirect type of way, similar to the heter of tiltum and atzad, Amr Behuda says, Hani Pilpali, regarding these peppers, medik, that are being sliced very fine, then chod bekata de sakina, if you're doing one at a time, which is one the deviation of the way it's usually done, and you're doing it with the handle of a knife, then sure, then it's going to be permitted, because that's not toichen, that's not really your classic way of grinding, because you're doing it in an indirect way. First of all, you're changing it two ways. You're doing it one at a time, and you're doing it with the handle of a knife. However, tartias, if you do two at a time, that would be asr, because that's the way generally how it's done. You have to do two shinuyim, two differences, one that it should only be one at a time, and also that it should be done with the handle of a knife, which is not the way it's normally done. And that the Gemara says, Rava Amar Rava argues, and then he says, Kivin the Mishani, since you're changing it, you're not doing it the way that's usually grinded with millstones or with a mortar, then afila tuvanami, then even if you're doing more than one at a time, it's going to be mutter, because the fact that you're doing it with the handle of a knife is an indirect way, and therefore it's going to be mutter to do it even many at a time on Shabbos. Amar Yehuda, Yehuda says another statement from Rabbi Yehuda, Man the Sachi b'mayi, someone that bathed himself in water on Shabbos, Lingiv nav shebereshe, should first dry himself off, v'hodin l'salik, and then they should get up and go out into the street. Because dilma aslatui, maybe he's going to come to carry the water that's on him, from the water that he bathed in on Shabbos, dalar amas b'karmelis, he might come to walk 4 amas in the karmelis, and he's transporting the water in the karmelis. And that the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, that we're concerned about transporting something 4 amas, even in the karmelis, and that would be applying it to water. So kiko noches, then the problem is even when you're going into the body of water, namikodochi kaicha, if you're going into, let's say, a lake, which a person is going in to immerse himself and then he's coming out, so you're also pushing with your force of your body, you're pushing the water, dalad amis, 4 amis, v'asr, that should be asr, because a lake is a karmelis, and therefore when you're going into the water, you're pushing it 4 amis, so it's like you're transporting the water, 4 amis in the karmelis, which we said we're concerned for. And that the Gemara says, koichi b'karmelis le'gazra, though generally concerned about a person's koyach, regarding a karmelis, which is itself only a drabanan, we were not geyser regarding a person's koyach, his force. Yes, to actually transport it on his body, that we're concerned about, and therefore you have to dry yourself off first. However, when you're going into the lake and you're pushing the water 4 amas in the karmelis, that we were in geyser, and therefore that's not a problem. Abaya says, the item and some say Rabbi Yehuda, and that would be in the transition of these different statements of Rabbi Yehuda regarding the halachas of Shabbos. Titcha gabi ragli, regarding if clay is on a person's foot, or in a practical application, on somebody's shoe. Mikanche bekarka ve mikanche bekoisel. He could wipe it off on the ground. You know, he has it on his foot, he doesn't want it, but he can't wipe it on the wall. So Amar Rava, Rava comes to explain, my time in Bekaitzalei, what is the reason that you can't wipe it off on the wall when you have clay? Mishum de Mechzi Kibayna, obviously it's because it seems like that it's like building. You're adding on to the building by putting on more clay. It's made with cement, mortar, bricks, and therefore it looks like you're building. On that he asked, Habinachaklohu, but that's the type of building of villagers, of peasants. In other words, that's not considered building. Why would we be concerned about wiping off the clay from your shoe on the wall? That shouldn't be a problem. Elam Rava, rather Rava says to the contrary. He says, rather you could wipe it onto a wall, because what are you doing already? But you cannot wipe the clay on the ground. And the ground is a problem because you might come to smooth out the pits in the floor, and since you have clay in your foot and you're gonna come to start playing around the floor to get it off, you might see some holes and you're gonna come to smooth it out. That is coming to do a malocha de raisa. If it's indoors, it could be boin, if it's outdoors, it could be chayrish. Therefore, that would now let it go ahead and take the clay off on the ground, but you could do it on the wall. And that the Gemara brings, really, it's a four-way machlokes, because itmar we learned, mar bereid ravino amar, echadze ve'echadze aser, both the wall and the ground is a problem, because the wall is a problem, as we said before, of bain, of building, and then the ground is a problem because you come to smooth out the pits, which would be a problem of a malocha derayis, either of bain or of charish. Rav Papa says to the other extreme, he says, amar echadze ve'echadze mutter, both are permitted. And that is because a person's intent is not for that, to go ahead and add on the building or to smooth out the pits. And therefore, since we hold like Reb Shimon that says, Davish in Meskavin, something that's not intended is mutter anyway, so therefore when you come to wipe up the clay, therefore there's not going to be a problem. So therefore it's really a four-way machlekes, if it's going to be mutter in all of them, or usser in all of them, or mutter only on the wall and not on the ground, or mutter on the ground and not on the wall. Now the Gemara asks, according to one of the four opinions, Lamar Bered Ravina, that he says it's usher to wipe off the clay, and you can't wipe it on the wall because of bain, you can't wipe it on the floor because you're coming to smooth out the pits. So, but mechanically, so how are you going to get the clay off your foot? You can't wipe it anywhere. I think it says mechanically, because you can wipe it off on a beam. That is, if you have a piece of wood that's just laying there on the floor, there you don't have a problem. It's not adding on to a building because it's not part of anything, and it's not smoothing out the pits on the ground because it's a piece of wood. Therefore, that's something that you can wipe off the clay from your foot. Amar Rava, Rava says, a person should not sit at the edge of a lechi, of a side post, of a mavi, which generally when a mavi was something that has closed on three sides and the fourth side is open to Rishas Ram, there with certain things we have to do to separate it from the public domain to show it that it's a Rishas HaYochid in a certain context. So therefore you either have a kaira or a lechi. Lechi is a side post to show that this is where the property ends. It's like a halachic fourth wall. Now this person should not sit there all the way at the edge of the lechi, of the side post, because then he can't recognize, he won't see the lechi to realize where he is. And as the Gemara says, Dilma Megandrele Chavitz, maybe an object is going to roll past him. Vaslai too is going to come to carry it, and he's not going to realize where he is, that he's between the area of Rosh Hashanah and Shas Yachid, and he might come to do the Malacha Beitzah on Shabbos. V'amar Rav, and another statement from Rav. A person should not try to move around a heavy object, for example, a barrel on Shabbos, pushing it this way, that way, as people would do sometimes with furniture. If it's on an earthenware floor, if you're coming to move it around, you might come to smooth out the pits that's there by moving it this way, that way. So you shouldn't be moving around these heavy barrels because you might come to smooth out the pits, again, which could bring to a person to Malacha de Raisa. Vama Rava, another statement from Rava. Lalahadik inish udra bepuma deshisha. A person should not stick in tightly an udra, which these flockings, these are the cotton or soft rags that are used to close up the opening of a jug. You shouldn't go ahead and stick it in very tightly into the opening of their jug. Dilma also deshita, because since they get wet, they get moist from the liquid that's inside the jug. If you push it in very tight, you might come to squeeze out the juice that's inside of it and be over the malacha deraisa of shita, of squeezing out the juice that's inside the garments and the soft rag. Also on the topic of malabin, which is the malach of schita, of squeezing out when you're whitening a garment by squeezing out what's inside of it, which is a part of the process of laundering. I'm Rav Kahana. Titcha gabe bigdi, regarding clay that's on the person's garment. So you can go ahead and scrub it and rub it from the inside. And that is because if you rub it from the inside, it's not obvious that it seems like that you're doing malabin, that as if you're laundering the garment. Because it's not even really in actuality at all really malabin. Because malabin, laundering, is only when you put water on it. However, there might be an element of what might seem like laundering, which would be a problem, as the Gemara is going to say, when you do it on the outside, directly on the clay. However, here, since you're doing it on the inside, so then it's not going to be a problem. It's not actually malabin, and when you're doing it on the inside, it doesn't even look like malabin. However, but you can't go ahead and rub it on the outside, because then that gives the impression as if you're laundering, and therefore that's aser midrabbanan. And that the Gemara has meisvei. We learned tich agabi min ole, clay that's on the person's shoes. So megari begav sakin, you could scrape it off with the handle of a knife. Vishal bigdai, but if it's on his garment, megari betzafar, and he could scrape it off with his fingernail. Ubulvad shleichaschis, as long as he doesn't rub it. On that, the Gemara says, my love shleichaschis klal. It sounds like that he shouldn't rub it at all, whether on the inside or the outside. And yet you said that on the outside it's going to be aser, but on the inside it's going to be mutter. And that the Gemara says, loy shleichaschis mebachutz mebefinim. The problem was, it said that you shouldn't rub it on the outside, which you could do with the fingernail. However, he was saying that you can do it. However, on the inside it would be mutter, as we said before, and therefore it's not difficult. Amr Bavo, Amr Balaza, Amr Biyanai. On this topic that we mentioned before in the Braisa, Migarin Minol Chadish, you're allowed to scrape off the clay that's on top of a new shoe, Avalo Yashin Benafman old shoe, because an old shoe, if you're going to scrape it off, you might come to actually peel off part of the leather, and that's going to be smoothing it out. Memachik is one of the melachas of the Lamatas melachas of Shabbos. And that the Gemara, we continue on to Amid Beis. Bimamigari. Now, regarding the new shoes that we said that you could scrape off the clay, with what can you use to scrape it off? Amr Bavo, Begav Sak, with the handle of a knife, you have to do, as we mentioned before, that shinui to do it with the handle of a knife. And that the Gemara brings it. Amalei Ahu Sava, there was this elder that said to him, that he argued, and he said, Samei Didach Mikmeha, erase your statement in regards to what was said as follows. Because the Tani Reb Chiya said explicitly, Ein megarin, you're not allowed to scrape loy min al chadash v'loy min al yashan. Not a new shoe and not an old shoe. And therefore, it's not like you said that you could do it a new but not an old. You can't scrape up the clay from any shoe, whether new or old. Other statements that he said from Reb Chiya, v'loy yosach ezragloy shemen v'ubetoich ha-minol or betoich ha-sandal. You're not allowed to go ahead and anoint, to put on oil on his leg, if the leg is in the shoe at that time or in the sandal at that time, because the shoe is going to benefit from it, from the oil that's going on it when you're anointing your leg when it's in the shoe, and it's going to be the malacha deraisa of ma'abed of tanning the shoe by having it go through the process of the oil, and therefore you can't anoint your legs when it's in the shoe. However, what you could do, you could anoint your leg with oil, and then you could put your foot afterwards, once already oiled up, then you could put it into the shoe or into the sandal. Similarly, v'sach kol guv v'shemen, you can anoint your entire body with oil, umisagal, and then roll around agabe katavliya on top of this boiled leather, which they would make a cloth out of it, either for the table or for one's bed. V'enachosh, you don't have to be concerned, although you can't put the oil directly on it, but you can put it on your body, and then you can roll around on your sheet on your bed, and you don't have to be concerned. So Amr Rav Chizr qualifies what we said, that Loishana, we did not say that it's permitted to go ahead and anoint one's leg with oil and then afterwards to put his foot into the shoe, ela letzachzachai, only if his intent is to go ahead and shine the shoe. Aval abdi asa, but if he has his oiled foot, now he's putting into his shoe with the intention to go ahead and now, oh, I have an oily foot, and now I'm going to go ahead and tan my leather shoes and it's going to benefit, that is asa even to put in afterwards. And that the Gemara asks, what do you mean, you don't have to tell us that. It's obviously you're not allowed to tan on Shabbos. So of course you can't go ahead and put your oily foot in to go ahead and tan your shoe on Shabbos. But moreover, if you're telling me, but when you have this oily foot, you're allowed to put in to go ahead and shine your shoes on Shabbos. Would anyone hold that it's permitted with that intent to put your oily foot into the shoe to shine the shoes? Well, we should make a decree that of course you're not allowed to put your oily foot in with the intent to shine the shoe, because you might come to put in your oily foot to go ahead and tan the shoe. So therefore the Gemara says, rather, if you're going to say that halacha, say it as follows. That Amr Rav Chizr, this is what Rav Chizr said. We only said it if it has the amount of oil that could shine the shoe. In other words, that he didn't have so much oil that's going to be dripping from his foot onto the leather shoes that it's enough to tan the leather. Rather, it would only be enough oil that it would make the leather shoes shine. However, even to shine it, of course, you can't have that intention to go ahead and do that, because that, of course, would be a problem. We can't let people intentionally go ahead and try to do that, because then they might come to go ahead and to tan their shoes. But it's only that it has the amount of oil that it could happen. But even if he doesn't have any intention at all, but if it has the amount of oil that it could tan the shoes, even that would be us, even without the intention. But of course, you can't have any intention whatsoever, not only not to go ahead and tan the shoes, but even to go ahead and shine the shoes. It was talking about the amount of oil that's there. It can't have the amount of oil to tan it, but it could have the amount of oil that it would just get shine. So now the Gemara continues on this discussion of shoes. Turn about the Lent and the Braisa. A minor cannot go out with the shoes of a major, of an adult. And that is a small little person. A minor cannot go out with the shoe of a larger person because it might fall off of his foot because it's so big on him and he might come to carry it in Rishus Rabbim. Aval yitzu b'chal gadol, but a small child can go out with a large shirt from an adult because that's not going to fall off him. It's not like a shoe that can slip off. It's on top of him. And we're also not concerned that he's going to come to take it off because no one's going to walk around in the street naked without wearing their shirt. So therefore, although it's very large on him and baggy, he's allowed to wear that into the Rishus Rabbim. But lo yitzi isha b'minal merupet, a woman cannot go out into the street with a torn shoe that's ripped on the top part of the shoe because it's embarrassing for her. And when people are going to laugh at her, she's going to take it off and come to carry it for Amos and the Rishus Rabbim. That's why she can't go out with a torn shoe. And moreover, regarding this torn shoe, v'lo tachlitz boy, she's not allowed to do l'ketchila, initially, chalitza with this torn shoe, which is the process of when a woman's husband dies without any children. So then her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, has to go ahead and do yibim and marry her. And if he doesn't want to, then he does chalitza, and the woman goes ahead and takes off his shoe and spits in front of it. That shoe should not be one that's torn on the top, because that's not a proper shoe. However, v'mcholza chalitza z'ksher, however, if she does chalitza with that type of torn shoe, it will be b'di'evet after the fact considered a good chalitza. And then the Braisa says, "Ve'en yitzim b'minal chadash." One is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos into the public domain with a new shoe. On that, the Braisa says, "Be'ezim minal amru." With what type of shoe did we say that one cannot go out with if it's a brand new shoe? That's b'minal shalisha. That's talking about the shoe of a woman, and that is if a woman didn't ever use the shoe before Shabbos. Then we say that a woman is very particular, that she only wants a shoe that fits exactly to the measurements of her foot. And therefore, she can't use it for the first time at Shabbos, because if it's not exact, she might come to take it off, and then it's going to be a problem in Rosh Hashanah. But however, Tanya Bar Kapor qualifies this halacha, and he says, it's only if she did not wear it at all, not even for one moment, before Shabbos started. Although it's new shoes, but if it's not brand new, she wore it at least for a little bit on Friday before Shabbos, then it's going to be permitted because then she recognized if it fits her measurements exactly, then she's not going to be so particular and therefore she's not going to come to take it off on Shabbos because it doesn't fit exactly how she likes it. Now the Gemara brings a theory regarding a different topic on this general topic of shoes. Tanu Chadi, we learned one braisa. One is allowed to remove a shoe that was just made from the form that the shoe is made on Shabbos. However, in another braisa, one is not allowed to remove the shoe from the form that it's made on Shabbos. Another thing where it says loy kasha. It's a machlokes between Tanoim in the Mishnah Kalim. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah. Minol shagabe emes, regarding shoes that are on the form that the shoes are made on. Rebeleza holds that the shoes are tar. In other words, that it doesn't have the status of a kliya to be mekabel toma. And therefore on Shabbos also, you're not allowed to remove the shoes from the form because it's not a kliya. It's considered something that's mukta. The Chacham say that although it's still on the form, since it was completed, it is going to be mekabel tumah because it's considered kli, and therefore on Shabbos you're allowed to remove it because it's a kli. And that the Gemara says, fine, you resolve this contradiction regarding the shoe itself, but it hinges on another element that it's totally in the machlokes amiram, because hanichil Rava, this makes sense according to Rava. The Amma that he says in Perikol Akelim, regarding something that its main function is for something that's prohibited. For example, a drill is something that's generally used, or a hammer, it's used for something that's prohibited activity on Shabbos. So in this case, that would be an application of the form, which is something that's generally used to create shoes on, which is something of being a sakin man. There's many malachas that are done with that, which is a klisha malachta le'issa. Now, he holds, Rava says, that regarding a klisha malachta le'issa that's generally used for prohibited activity, that whether you're utilizing this klisha malachta le'issa, let's say a hammer, that if you want to use it for the item itself, you want to use the hammer, let's say, to break open nuts, or you want to move it for the place that the hammer is taking up, that you want to, let's say, sit on that chair, then it'd be permitted to go ahead and move that klisha malachta le'issa. And that is because since it has a status of a kli on it, although it's a kli shemlachta le'issa, but since it has a status of a kli, then you can move it both l'tzarech gufay, because to use the hammer itself, let's say for a permitted thing of breaking open nuts, or for the place that it takes up, that you can move it away to sit on that chair. So then this resolution makes sense. And that is because then you could say, as we tried to resolve, that statement that says that you're allowed to remove the shoe from the form on Shabbos, that is, as we said, is like drabbanan, that since, as we said, the shoe, okay, you could take it off because it's a kli. However, So the shoe is a kli, but the amos, this form, is also a kli. Now, although that the amos, this form, is a kli shemalachti le'iser, that it's generally used to go ahead and make shoes, which is prohibited activity on Shabbos, but you could move the form also when you need the place that it's taking up. In other words, the shoe that's on the form. Now, when you're taking off the shoe, you're going to be moving the form. You have to get it off. Now, since the form is inside the shoe, you could move the form, although it's a kli shemalachti le'iser, but you can move it when you want to get the shoe off it, so inevitably you're going to be moving the form, because a kli shemalachti le'iser, according to Rava, you could move it not only to use the form itself, but you could even move it for the place that's taking up, which in this case is the shoe that's inside of it. So therefore, that makes sense that, okay, so yes, you can move the shoe because it's a kli according to Rabbanan, as we find in Mishnah Kelim, but you could also move the amos, the form, because you're moving it l'tzarech mekayim to get the shoe out of it. El Abaya, according to Abaya, the question is as follows, that although that the shoe that's on the form, we resolved, as we said before, according to Rabbanan, that it's a vessel. However, the form itself is a kli shemalachti le'iser, as we explained, that it's used for forbidden activities, to make shoes on it. Now, this person that's coming to take the shoe off of it, he doesn't need that to use the amos itself, the form itself, for its own purpose. He's not cracking nuts on the form, right? So the question is, according to Abaye, the Omer that he says, l'tzarech gufei mutu, l'tzarech mekayim aser, that a kli shemalachti le'iser, like a hammer, could only be used for itself. For example, for a permitted activity, let's say to crack open nuts, but you cannot move it for the place that it takes up. So then the question is, how can you move the form? Ma'ikalamema, what are you going to say? Yes, you resolve the coin to Rabban how you can take the shoe off, that the shoe is not muktzah. But how are you allowed to move indirectly the form that the shoe is on if that's a klisha malach le'iser? And you're only moving it, letzarech mekayim, for the place that it's taking up, which is inside the shoe. Now that is not permitted, according to Abaye, to be done on Shabbos. And that the Gemara resolves the hochem ma'iskinon birofei. We're talking about that it's loose. That is, the shoe is can be removed easily by itself, and you don't have to move the form to get the shoe off of it because it's only loosely on it, and therefore you could delicately do it without moving it, and therefore you get around it. Although you're taka not allowed to move the form for the tzarech mekayim, you're not moving it at all. You're only moving the shoe. The Tanya is learning the brisa like Abaye. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says im hoye rofei muter. If it was loosely on the form, then it's permitted to take it off. So the Gemara concludes, time of the rafui. Obviously the reason is because it's loose. Holei rafui, but if it's not loose, then you would not be able to take it off. And obviously the reason is because since this amos, this form, is forbidden to move letzarech mekayim for the place that's taking up, which would be the interior of the shoe. So therefore, if it's not loose, you wouldn't be able to move it, because although the shoe is a kli that could be moved, according to the pinya Rabbanan, but they would not allow it, and that's like the pinya of Abaye, because you can't move the amos, the form, letzarech mekayim, which is inside the shoe. So therefore, the Gemara goes and asks on the reverse. So honich l'Abaye, this statement of Yehuda goes very well with the pinya of Abaye. The Amar that he says, davash malachta le'iser, that an item that's generally used for prohibited activities, which is this form, letzarech gufei mutter, only if you're using it for it itself, then you would be permitted to move it on Shabbos, letzarech mekayim aser Shabbos. But if it's being used for its place, that's forbidden. That would make sense why it has to be loosely on it. El Rava, according to Rava, the Amar that he says, bein letzarech gufei, bein letzarech mekayim mutter, that you can move a mekli shemalachta le'iser even for its place. So my ear roughly, what is the Yehuda say? That the shoe has to be loose on it. I feel like roughly now, even if it's not loose, and you're going to be inevitably moving the form, why is it going to be aser? It should be mutter even there also, because a kli shemalachta le'iser, according to Rava, can be moved not only letzarech gufei, but even letzarech mekayim. And that the Gemara says, that ahi d'Rabbi Yehuda, mishum d'Rabbi Elazar. That statement of Rabbi Yehuda that said that it has to be loose was not based on this idea of moving a kli shemalachta le'iser, that it cannot be letzarech mekayim, only letzarech gufei. It was only being said according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And that is, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that a shoe that's on this form is not considered a kli. It's not complete yet. As long as you didn't take the shoe off, as we find in the Mishnah Kelim, the way we resolved it, the reason why you can't take off the shoe according to Pinya Balaza is because it's not complete yet. And therefore, and that's why we said regarding halachas of tumah, it's not makabel tumah yet. So therefore, regarding Shabbos also, you're not allowed to take it off because it's not a kli, and therefore it's considered muktzah. On that is what Rabbi Yehuda comes to say, that when it's loosely on the form, that is not lacking the taking off of the shoe, and then you would be permitted to remove it from the form. And that is because according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, even if it's not loose, of course it would be permitted, as Rava would hold. Because the reason why the Rebbe Yehuda is saying that when it's not loose, that it's prohibited, is not because of moving the form. It's not because it's Letzarech Mekayimeh, which is forbidden. That's not true. Rather, it's because the shoe itself. That's according to the opinion of Elazar, that he says that the shoe is not considered complete yet. It's not a kli until you take it off. And that is what he said, that if it's loose, oh, that's the same as if it was taken off already. It's considered done already if it's loose. And then you'd be able to take it off, even according to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, and therefore has nothing to do with the machlekes of Abaye and Rava regarding movement of the amos. The Tanya has learned in the Braisa that Rebbe Yehuda Oimer Mishum Rebbe Eliezer, that this statement of Rebbe Yehuda is going in the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, that Im Hayah Rafu Muta, that if it was loose, then it's permitted, because again, nothing to do with the fact of moving of the amos, but rather because then the shoe itself would be considered a complete kli, and then even according to Rebbe Eliezer, it would be considered a kli, and it would be permitted to take it off, and there wouldn't be mukta. So if we have this machlokes between Abaye and Rava in their interpretation of the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, why it would be usher when it's not loose? And that is according to Abaye, the concern was regarding the movement of the amos of the form. And that is because he's concerned about that there's an element of mukta over there, because it's going only mutter letzarech gufay, but not letzarech mekaymai. And if it's going to be tied on, then it's going to be a problem about moving it, the form letzarech mekaymai, which is also according to Abaye. According to Rav, he says, no, this, that it would be a problem if it's not loose, was according to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, that he holds that the shoe will not be considered complete kli yet if it's not taken off, or if it's not loose yet, and therefore it's going to be mukta, and that's why it's going to be asr. Hanu lach toilin, we shall return to you, perek toilin, 20th perek in Masechta Shabbos. And now we begin the 21st perek in Masechta Shabbos, perek noitel. This perek, our Mishnah begins with regarding moving items of mukta that are permitted to be moved on Shabbos, different heter. So the Mishnah begins, noitel adam es benoi va'evim b'yodi. A person is allowed to take his child, although his child is carrying a stone in his hand. That is, he's allowed to take his child in a courtyard, not carry his child in the public domain. However, we do not say that by the fact that he's carrying his child, it's as if he's carrying the rock that the child is carrying, and thereby carrying a rock, which is muktzah. That's not a problem. He's allowed to take his child. However, that's in spite of the fact that the child himself is carrying a rock in his hand. Similarly, the kalkala of Evan Betoich, you're allowed to carry a basket, even though there's a rock inside the basket, which the rock is muktzah, but you're allowed to carry the basket. Umetatlin truma tameya imatahayr v'machul, and you're allowed to carry truma that's tame, that's impure, that has no purpose on Shabbos, if it's together with pure truma or with chulin that's unconsecrated produce. And that is, you can take the tuma one because it's together with the ones that are pure or the chulin, but the tuma one itself, the truma, it has no utility because it can't be consumed. It could only be used as fuel, and you can't use fuel on Shabbos. So since that can't be moved, it's muktzah, but together with the truma, the tahiri, if it's together with it or with the chulin, then you can move them all together as one. And regarding this halacha that we spoke about, regarding truma that became, that's tameh and tahara, so Rebbe Yehuda Oimer, Rebbe Yehuda says a different halacha regarding truma that's mixed in with other things. Af malan es hamaduma be'echer meya. You even allow to remove mixed truma with 1 out of 100, and that is when you have one measurement of truma that fell to 100 of chulin. So the halacha is that it's batal. Truma is not batal b'shishim. It has a specific measurement that you have to have at least 100 of chulin. Then it will be mevatal the one of truma that fell into it. So it becomes batal. However, you have to take out 1 out of 100 because just for the fact that there is one of truma in there, and you moved it aside, and then you could eat the rest. So the halacha that he's saying is that you're allowed to take out that one saw of truma on Shabbos, and thereby permitting the rest of the other 100 as complete chulin. And we do not say that it's considered mesakin as if it's fixing, which tikkun is always a problem to do on Shabbos because of the problem of tikkun mana, which is one of the lamates malachas. And the Gemara is going to explain the reason why it's not a problem. Although now that it's batal in the 100, but you have to take out one to designate it as truma and not consume that one, and then consume the other 100. By taking out the one, you are considered fixing the rest. So why is it mutu? The Gemara will discuss that. Now to explain our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Amar Rava. Rav is going to quote a statement, which then the Gemara is going to compare it to the statement of our Mishnah. Rav says, "Hoitzi tinek chai." If a person carries out a live child into the public domain, the kis toli b'tzavari, and there's a pouch hanging from the child's neck, so chayiv mishum kis. He's only liable for hitzav, for transporting, because of the pouch, but not because of the child, as Rav is going to explain. Now, however, because of the pouch, he's liable, And we don't say that the fact is that he didn't take it out. Rather, the child took it out on his body and he's only carrying the child, which the child is not liable for. We say that, no, he is liable for the pouch in spite of the fact that it's the child that's wearing it and he's exempt on the child, to which the Gemara later will ask from our Mishnah. That's why we're introducing the statement of Rava, that from the case of carrying out a child who is holding the rock in his hand, that we said that since there's no problem about carrying the child, we're not considering it as if you're carrying the rock, which is Muktzah. That seems to be at odds with what Rava is saying, that although you're exempt for carrying the child, it is considered as if you're carrying the pouch, and it's not considered as if the child is, which is not like the statement of our Mishnah that says the child's carrying the stone and you're not, although you're carrying the child. So the Gemara continues, Rava continues with his next statement. Tinik mace. Let's say you carry out a dead child. The kis tola lebitzavari, and there's a pouch hanging from his neck. Then, partner, then you're totally exempt. And that is as the Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara explains these two statements of Rava. If you carry out a live child and there's a pouch hanging from his neck, so chayv mishum kis, we said you're liable only for the pouch. And that the Gemara asks, you should be liable also for transporting the child, carrying a child into the public domain on Shabbos. And that the Gemara says that Rava kreb nasan svirle, Rava held like reb nasan. The Amad he says, chay noises atzmai, a live person carries his own weight. And that's it's in the literal sense that you're not totally carrying it, and therefore it's like possibly like two people carrying it, you and the child. But at least it's not totally carrying the child because they carry their own weight versus like dead weight we know is very heavy because the live person is not carrying themselves, and therefore you're not considered carrying solely the child, therefore you're exempt on the child. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so that's why you're exempt on the child, but then we should say that the pouch that's hanging from the child's neck that you're exempt on should be considered secondary to the child himself, and then you should be exempt on the pouch too. Why are we saying that you're chayiv on the pouch? Didn't we learn in the Mishnah that says, if they're transporting a live person on a bed, we said that you're not liable for the live person, as we said, because a live person carries his own weight. We said even more than that, potter af alamita, we said that you're exempt even for transporting the bed. And the reason is shamita tveilulai, because the bed is secondary to the person. We view it as subsidiary to the person. And since you're exempt for the person, you're exempt for everything that goes together with them, which includes the bed. So the question is, here the pouch, which is secondary to the child. If you're exempt on the child, you should be exempt on the pouch too. And that the Gemara says no. There's a difference in these secondaries, and that is mita legabe chayim mevatele. A bed to a live person that you're transporting is considered nullified, is secondary to the live person that you're carrying out, and that's because it's servicing the person that you're carrying. It's necessary. It's a service to carry out that live person. Kis legabe tinik lemevatele. But a pouch is not bottle. It's not nullified to the child because it's not servicing the child. It might be hanging from his neck. But it's, when you're transporting the child, that pouch is not servicing him and your transportation. And it's not secondary to him like the bed is. And therefore, it's not secondary to him to be considered batal. And therefore, although you're exempt on the child, you would be chayav in the pouch. Whereas when you're carrying out the live person in the bed, that's secondary to carrying him out. And therefore, you're exempt not only on him, but even on the bed. Now the Gemara continues on to the second statement of Rava. We learn tinik mace of a kis tola lebitzavari. If he carried out a dead child and there was a pouch hanging from his neck, he said potter is exempt, totally exempt. And that the Gemara asks, well, l'chayv mishum tinik, you should definitely be liable for the child because he's not carrying his own weight, he's dead weight. You're transporting a dead person into the street. And that the Gemara says, Rava krib shimon sreli. That the reason is because Rava holds like Rib Shimon, Dama, that he says, kol malocha shein sreich legufa potter la, any malocha that's not necessary for the item itself, you're exempt on. And that is, over here in this case, when you're transporting a dead person to bury him, a corpse, that is considered your classic malacha shein tzrich legufa. As the Gemara says in Hamatznia, because you don't need the dead item there, you just don't want him here. That's not, a malacha tzrich legufa is when you want it for the designated purpose of transporting it from here because you want it there. But here, where you don't want the dead person there, you just don't want it here, that's considered not necessary for the malacha b'itzah itself. It's a secondary type of a benefit, and therefore, that's according to Reb Shimon, your patron, that's why your patron on the child. And regarding the pouch that's on the dead child, the reason why your patron even on that is because this pouch was hanging from the child because when he would be, you know, sad, depressed, he would play with that pouch. That is Now that he's dead, the person, the father, or whoever it is taking him out, is mevatel it to the child. He doesn't consider it significant at that moment because he's burying the child with it. Therefore, not only are you exempt on the child, but you're even going to be exempt on the pouch that is secondary to the child in the case of when he's dead, that he's a corpse. And that the Gemara asks on the Dina of Rava from our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. We said that you're allowed to take your child and carry him, even though he has a rock in his hand. And therefore, you see from the fact that you're allowed to carry him in the courtyard, obviously it's not like you're carrying him and the stone and the stone that's in his hand. And therefore, regarding the pouch, how he's saying that when you're carrying out the live child, that although you're exempt on the live child because Chaynoisasmi carries himself, but you're liable for the pouch, because although you're carrying the child and the child is carrying the pouch, we view you as carrying the child, the pouch through the child. Yet in our Mishnah, we say not like that. We say that you're allowed to carry the child, and we don't see it as if you're carrying the mukta item that he's carrying. So how do we resolve the two statements? And that the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that he explains the statement of our Mishnah that it's not a problem is betinik sheyesh li giguin alav. That in other words, truth really, it is usually a problem. That as Rava's statement is, we view you carrying the item that he's carrying through him. However, Amish is told about a child that has longings for his father. And therefore, if we don't let you carry your child in the courtyard, the child will become sick. And therefore, the Chacham did not institute this problem of carrying indirectly in a place of when there's danger. And therefore, although it's not really sakonas nefashas, totally he's not going to die, but the child's going to get sick, it's going to affect him in a bad way, adversely. And therefore, we allowed him to carry the child, although it should be a problem of carrying mukta. Like Rava said, we view you carrying that. But since in this case we have gagu and the child is desperate, longing for his father, so therefore we weren't concerned, although mukta is a problem, but since it's an indirect type of a mukta, the other Rabbanan did not put the issue, the gezerah of mukta in such a case when there's gagu and alav. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, how you're explaining the case of our Mishnah, Ihachi, if that's the case, we continue on the topic of Membez and Aleph, so my area, Evan, so therefore why is it specified that the case of our Mishnah is talking about when the child's carrying a stone, I feel it didn't know me, even if it's carrying a coin. Alama Amar Rava, why did Rava say an explanation of our Mishnah? That Loishanu Ela Evan Avadin Rasa, that it's only permitted when he's carrying a rock, but if he's carrying a coin, that it would be a problem. Why is it? It should be mutter because he has longings, and therefore we're not concerned whatever the mukta item is. And that the Gemara says, the coin is a separate issue. Even regarding a rock, enough lo osav ulitoy. If the kid drops it, the father's not going to come to pick it up, and therefore, although it's a mukta item, we're not concerned that he's going to pick it up. Dinner enoughful asavula to you, but if it's a coin that the child is holding, then we're concerned if he's going to drop it, the father might come to pick it up. And therefore, the reason why the coin is a problem that the kid is carrying has nothing to do because of that you're carrying the mukta item. Because even if you're just holding the child's hand and the child's walking on his own feet, still you're not allowed to hold his hand and walk with him. Nothing to do because we view it as if you're carrying the mukta that he's carrying. Rather, the reason why Rava says the problem when he's holding a coin is because the child might drop it and the father might come to pick it up. Since it's not a sakonas nefashis in this case, even when there's longings from the child to the father, you can't even hold his hand to walk with him. Nothing to do with carrying him, which would be considered constituting as if you're carrying the mukta item on some level. Nothing to do with that. Still, you can't hold his hand because he might drop it and then you might come to pick it up. And we're concerned that coin, money, that you might come to pick it up. And therefore, that has nothing to do with the statement of our Mishnah of carrying it. That's a problem that it wouldn't allow him to hold his son's hand when he's walking. Again, because then you might come to pick it up, but not because it's like a secondary type of a carrying of a mukta. And therefore, it is the resolution, as we said before, that the Mishnah, although generally, as that's Rav said, that when you're carrying an item, whatever that item is carrying, it's as if you're carrying it. And therefore, you can't, when you're carrying the live child, you're puttering him, but you'll be liable for the pouch. But our Mishnah that said that you're going to be holding his hand, you're going to be holding the child, and even though he's holding the rock, that's a different type of case because of gagun, of longings, which again would only be permitted when holding a rock, which the father's not going to pick it up, but a coin, which would be a problem, even when you're holding his hand, that is going to be usher again, because then the father might come to pick it up when the child dropped that $5 coin or whatever it is.